I can only echo those magnificent words of St. Paul that we heard in the second reading, that how deep is the wisdom and knowledge of God. We can't reach to the root of his decisions or his ways. Who has ever known the mind of the Lord? Yes, it is true. God's ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not his. And there is such an incredible example of that in all of our other scriptures tonight. In Isaiah, we hear how God confers such great authority upon a man, Hilkiah. Excuse me, not Hilkiah, his son, Eliakim. Upon Eliakim. But it's very clear from the text that God is the one who's giving the authority. Just as God takes away the authority of the hapless Shebna, who is at the beginning of the passage. And God says to Shebna, I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station. So God is the one who gives this wonderful authority to Eliakim and takes away the authority from Shebna. But that is all small change to what transpires in the gospel. Because in Isaiah, we're talking about the authority of the master of King Hezekiah's palace. But in the gospel, we're talking about authority over Jesus' community. And that is a community that is precious to Jesus. Because we hear him in the gospel today speak of his community with such deep affection and love as to say, my community, my church. How astonishing it is that Jesus gives to a man, Simon Peter, such sweeping and incredible authority as to say to him, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, biblically, the key is a symbol of authority. And then Jesus gives Peter, this man, the power of binding and loosing. Now, those are technical rabbinic terms. Primarily, they have a disciplinary reference. Bound means condemned to. Loosed means absolved from. Their secondary usage, these technical terms, binding and loosing, had to do with teaching authority, where bound means forbidden to teach, loosed means allowed or permitted. So this is the power that Jesus gives to this man, Simon Peter. But moreover, Jesus says that the verdicts that he will deliver and the pronouncements that he will make will be ratified by God in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. When had anything ever been said to any human being as Jesus says to Peter here? No mortal could ever give authority like that to Peter, but only God himself. And so by Jesus giving that authority to Peter, it confirms Peter's identification of Jesus as the Son of the living God. So why would Jesus do such a thing? Why would he give such authority to this man? Well, all I can say again is what St. Paul said, who has known the mind of the Lord? We cannot reach to the root of his decisions or his ways. But there's a very interesting little detail in our gospel that we should not miss, which we could easily miss. And that is the blended name that Matthew gives to this fisherman. It's a very significant detail. and it tells us a great deal. Because Matthew does not call this fisherman Simon, son of Jonah. No, Jesus does that. Nor does Matthew call this fisherman Peter the Rock. No, Jesus does that. Matthew calls him Simon Peter. He puts the names together. And that is not an accident. Simon points to a specific man, Simon, son of Jonah. He has a name. He's a specific historical man. He has his own person. He has his own family history. He comes from a geographic place, namely Bethsaida, that little village on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where he used to hang out with that gang called the Bethsaida Boys, which was him and his brother Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, James and John and Philip. They were all this little gang that grew up together in Bethsaida. This is a real guy. His name is Simon. But the name Peter points to his special character as a man chosen by Jesus to lead his beloved community. Peter is the name of the man who is impeccable in his declaration of faith as in his teaching, because as Jesus says, his father, Jesus' father, reveals truth to Peter. But Simon, again, refers to the man who was and would be again flawed by stubbornness, cowardice, and the desire to succeed in a worldly way. Church, here we have one of the radical consequences of the mystery of the incarnation, where the Son of God, fully divine, becomes a human being, becomes a real man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man of flesh and blood. And because of that, now God's presence can be mediated to us through other flesh and blood human beings. As St. Augustine, one of the four great doctors of the Western Church, whose feast day is only in 4 days, says that even though it is always Christ himself who feeds the flock, nevertheless, he does it by making his presence, making himself present in the person of particular shepherds. Now, these enduring promises that Jesus makes to Peter in our gospel hold good not only for Peter, but also for his successors. Because on that day in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus plainly intends to provide for the future of his beloved community by establishing a structure which will not collapse with Peter's death. And so, church, today, as we come to this table of the Eucharist, we pray for the grace of that strong faith and ardent love of Peter to live in Jesus' beloved community, shepherded by Peter's successors.